Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
How many of you have ever prayed for God's direction? Anybody ever prayed for God's direction in your life? You know, I know we had all these young people up here from 15 to 25. You know, I'm sure that they're probably asking God all the time, what do you want from me? What's in my life? Where should I do next? Where should I go? Where should I work? Who should I marry? Who should I date? You know, hopefully they're asking those questions, you know. But many of us, I know most of the time people pray and say, ask for direction. They're always wanting to go the right way, and that's a good thing, right? Wanting to go the right way. You know, I've prayed for God's direction before, and I felt very fortunate because I felt like I have heard the voice of the Lord and been able to follow great direction that God has laid for me. I felt like I've went through open doors when I was supposed to. I felt like I tried to go through some doors, and the Lord slammed them right on my nose, you know. But I feel like I've been pretty fortunate when it comes to following the direction that God has given me. But you know, so I heard something recently. I heard someone talking, and I never felt this feeling before, so I had to explore it a little bit. But they began, and I've always kind of poked fun a little bit at people that were just bad with directions. I've not been bad with directions, so it's not bothered me. So I realized a couple things for you that are out here today that maybe you're not good with directions. With that comes a few other things. Sometimes that's where worry comes from. You know, that's where when you get that sense of being lost and then that feeling of loss, what does that feel like? I didn't know. I don't feel like I've ever been lost, you know. I feel like God blessed me just with a normal, good sense of direction. So I haven't had that feeling. So when people talk about being worried or, you know, anxious and have this deep feeling of loss in their life, I'm kind of like, why? Just, you know, this is the right thing. So I've never understood that. I've always had a good sense of direction. You know, it's probably came from my father as we grew up. You know, he would take us on road trips just driving around Nelson County, and we'd go one way, and all of a sudden he'd get to an intersection and go, right or left? Which way do you want to go? And we'd holler out, right or left? We'd pick a direction. He's like, where's this going to go? I don't know. And we would drive, and then all of a sudden we'd come out somewhere, and then he'd say, right or left? And we just drove all through Nelson County at times, and it was orienting me to where I was. And I learned to have a direction. Sometimes when you turn somewhere, people make a decision to go right and don't know where they're going. They'll get to a place, well, I'm going to take a left here. Why? I don't know. It just looks good, you know? But you have no clue where you're actually going. You know, we do that in life. We get to decisions in the road and just all of a sudden make a spur-of-the-moment decision, not knowing how it's going to turn out. Not spending one moment in prayer asking God, where will this road take me? We just get to a decision and someone says, hey, would you like this job? Sure, I would. It pays $5 more than I make now. Where's that road go? I don't know. It just led to a little bit more money on the way. Well, how about, you know, this pretty girl asked me out. You want to go out? Sure. You know, well, where's that road going to go? I don't know. It looks good right now. You know, we sometimes follow these roads, but never know where we're going because we don't have a good sense of direction. But I just kind of grew up always, I guess, honing in on that sense of direction. Even one time, I was working for a Monday Night Football, and I was going to a game in Atlanta, and I was only 19, 20, 21 years old, so I was young, and we were driving to Atlanta, and the production assistant gave us the name of the hotel in Atlanta, and that was it. And so we're driving to Atlanta. Now, I want you to know that GPS on your iPhone didn't come out to 2008. Okay? This is 7 years before that, at least. And so here we are driving through Atlanta, and we don't know where we're going. It's dark. It's in the middle of the night. And there's more than one hotel by the same name, Marriott, you know? And so how do you find a Marriott in Atlanta that you're supposed to go to when you have nothing but the name of the hotel? And no one's answering their phone, how to get a hold of them. We're driving through Atlanta, and my friend's with me, and they're starting to kind of get worried. We're going to drive around Atlanta all night long. I said, no, we're not. We're going to take the next exit. And we took the next exit, and he said, why? I said, I don't know. And we just started driving, drove down about 6 or 7 blocks. I said, we're going to turn left. Why are we turning left? I think there's hotels down there. And we started driving through the buildings and passing hotels. We pulled into a hotel, got out, walked in. I said, is ABC Sports staying here? I got a room. They said, yes, they are. Here's your room. And we went right in, you know, and I would just, it was one of those things. I wasn't worried about it driving down the road in the middle of the night. I wasn't, you know, panicking. I didn't have this feeling of being lost. And I've never had that, but I know that some people sitting here today may have. I know that some people, when you feel lost, we start doing some, you know, we start doing some crazy things when we can't find something. Like turn down the radio to see a hospital building that's 30 foot tall, you know? You know, oh, I'm lost. Where's, let me turn down that radio. It'll give me direction now. I can see better, you know? When we feel lost, when we have these things going on and anxiety creeps in, we start operating out of fear. It causes us to lose sight of what God has given us and start operating out of other things that have taken over. When we operate out of anxiety, when we operate out of fear, you know? Now, like I said, I've been good with direction, but I know that many of you maybe would not say you have a good sense of direction. If you would say you do not have a good sense of direction, raise your hand. I'm going to pick on you a little bit, but it's okay. All right, good, good. Raise your hand, good. All right, now I need you to help me today. Please help me. Stand to your feet for just a second. We're going to do a little experiment. Everybody, if you're not good with direction, stand to your feet. All right. Now, No cheating, no worrying about what anyone else says. On the count of three, I want you to point east. 1, 2, 3. All right. Now west. West. Now south. All right. So some of you need to know if you pointed one way for east, west is the exact opposite. I just need you to know that part. You know, we want to settle that one right away. All right. You may be seated. Thank you. And I feel like if you looked around this room, you understand that some people are very lost. Christina's going in circles. You know, and some people are very lost, but so let me let you know something today. You know, south is that way. North is right behind me. East, west. Just wanted you to be clear of that today. You know, I wanted to point that out and do that with you today because sometimes we do get disoriented. We don't know where we're going. But you know, most people determine where they're at by finding north first. They orient themselves to north. A study of psychological science reveals that the easiest way to reorient yourself is to find north and then visualize a map. So most of you that were standing over here or over here should have immediately found north, and then it would have been a little bit easier. All of you that are right here should have got this. You're facing north already. You know, so I may be more concerned about you. But, you know, we find our north, and then we visualize the map of where we're to look at. You know, when maps were originally created, at the top of all of our maps, north is at the top of a map. But when maps were originally created, east was at the top. East was at the top because that's where the sun rose. And so people always oriented themselves to the sun. Other maps for travelers, especially sea travelers, had their map with south at the top because that was where it was daylight longer. And they had more attention to daylight, and they oriented south. But north was never at the top of any map. North was never, because north was associated with dark. North was associated with darkness. North was associated with cold. Yeah, who likes cold? Yeah. Very few people want the cold. I get it. Pat doesn't want the cold. He's got that south map. But you know, north was not put at the top of the map until many, many years in history later. It was all these others that people tried to use to orient themselves to where they were. But now on the top of our map and across the world, north is at the top, and we use that to orient ourselves to where we're at. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Then at last the Lord said to me. I want you to stop right there and say, the Lord is talking to me today. Then at last the Lord said to me, you have been wandering around this hill country long enough. Turn to the north. So the first thing I needed to do is tell you where north was, because I'm going to have some of you all wandering around, flipping around, going the wrong direction. You've been wandering around long enough. Turn to the north. I truly believe God is speaking to his people that you have been wandering through life long enough, and it's time to turn north. That it's time to turn to the home stretch. There's something about when you turn to the home stretch. See, what happened here, if you're not familiar with Deuteronomy chapter 2, if you're not familiar with this command from the Lord, Moses had the people wandering in the wilderness for long enough. And the Lord said, now turn north because I'm taking you on the home stretch. I'm taking you on the home stretch to the promised land that I have given you. I want you to know, even as Sean was talking up here about the things that you see happening in the world, the biblical prophecies that we see happening, that it is important that you know it is time to turn to the home stretch. You know, there's something that happens when you're in a race and you turn to the home stretch. You know, I know Brittany runs all the time and has ran marathons and mini marathons, and my sister ran cross country and different people ran, and then there was some, you tried to maintain some energy while the race was going on. But then all of a sudden, when you knew it was the home stretch, when you saw the finish line, there's something that happens. You found a new gear. And you began to pour every bit of blood and sweat and energy you had to run the home stretch. Right? You know, I sometimes see people and they don't have a different gear. Hallelujah. My daughter does not have a different gear. If the house was on fire, she would still be moving at this pace. I know she's up there today, so I can pick on her. And I sometimes want to say, find a different gear. Hurry up. You got to move, you know? And some people just can't find that gear. They just walk the same no matter what's happening. But unfortunately, the church has walked through life that same way. They're acting like the tortoise, and they think, well, this race I'm just going to take my time and slow and steady wins the race. But the home stretch comes and you need to be a hare. It's time that we run. It's time that we find a different gear. So what I want to point out to you today, what I want to know is that you have to know that if you're going to run, you got to run in the right direction. Some people decide to run, but you're running the wrong way. You know, you get lost, you get all disoriented, and all of a sudden the world says something crazy, and you go run in that direction, following this trend and that fad and all of these different things, and I promise you're running the wrong way. So the number one thing that we have to see in this is God doesn't want us lost or wandering. You know, because if you're wandering, you're probably wondering where you're at. And if you're wondering, you're probably wandering because you don't know what God has for you. So it's time to reorient ourselves. Nahum, verse 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a strong refuge when trouble comes. He is close to those who trust him." You know, if you're ever lost, if you ever feel like you're wandering, all you have to do is know that God is close to you and you can trust in him. You can call upon him and he will answer you. That's what he's promised his people. Isaiah 41, verses 9 and 10. He says, "I have called you back from the ends of the earth. I have called you back. You are my servants, and I have chosen you and will not throw you away. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." What's happening right now is God is calling back his people to the place of worship, to a true worship, to a place of where they need to be in him. Just like we're watching in the world, God has been calling the Jewish people back to Israel. That he is calling his church to the home stretch. If you watch how God is calling his people back, then he is calling you to a place of true worship in him. He is calling them back for those that don't know the Lord, for those that have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and has not accepted his salvation. He is calling you from the ends of the earth, that now is the time for salvation. Stop wandering in the world. He's also calling for those that need to rededicate their lives. Those that have been Christians and said, "Well, I've kind of fallen away and I've went my own way." God says, "I'm calling you back." He's calling those that have said, "Well, the church hurt me at some point in time, and I don't trust them anymore." We're stepping away, but God says, "I'm calling you back. Stop wandering in the wilderness." Because that feeling of lost, that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of being depressed when you're lost, that's what happens when you're wandering in the world. But when you're safe in the shelter of the Almighty, you don't feel those feelings. If you're sitting here today and you've had those feelings, I want to tell you, you're wandering. Get in a position where you know you're right with God. But yet, even for most, it means that God wants you to quit being lukewarm. Oh, I'll tell you, if you've ever, as Sean was alluding to in his thing, he said, "I have forgiven everyone." Because it's time that everyone is right with God. That we're in the home stretch and we have to get right with God. We cannot be lukewarm. We cannot wait for something else to happen. We have to stop waiting for a better time to serve God. "Well, when I get married. Well, when I get a job. Well, when this happens. Well, when I get over this addiction. Well, when we start going through this scenario of when is the best time for us to serve God." The best time for you to serve God is right now. This very second. This very minute. This very moment. This is the time to serve the Lord. It's the time for those that are lukewarm to make a decision to follow him. It's a time that those that are lost and wandering say, "I'm coming home," just like the prodigal son. We are in the home stretch. I promise if you're going around life looking, say, well, I'll serve God when I find the perfect church, when I find the compassionate pastor. Well, I want you to know, I'm not him and this isn't it. Probably the wrong day to tell you that. But you're never going to find the perfect church. You're never going to find the perfect pastor. But I want you to know there is a perfect God. And he wants you to stop wandering and come home to him today. Amen. Stress, anxiety, depression, lack, poverty, loneliness. All these feelings come when you're lost in the wilderness. They come when you're wandering around aimlessly, hoping that something good happens. And when I see all these people going through these emotions, and they're happening right here, they're happening in your life. When you feel these, you have to say, God, am I aimlessly wandering in a place that you don't want me? Bring me back to where I need to be, which is bring us to turning north, just like he told Moses, turn north. God wants you focused on him and him alone. Turn north. I don't have to tell most of y'all that today because you're facing north, you know? So y'all are good now. You've turned north. God wants you focused on him, just like the racer is focused on the finish line. They're running that direction. They're not, though if you watch sports, you see all those people running down the field in football looking back, they get tackled. But the person that looks at the end zone and keeps running is the one that makes it to the finish line. The racer running the race, looking back, seeing who's catching them. We'll get caught. We'll get passed. But the church, we're not looking over our shoulder anymore. We've turned north. We're focused on him. And it's time that we move forward. Proverbs 16, 8 and 9 says, it's better to have little with godliness than to be rich and dishonest. We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. What's that telling you today? It's telling you stop chasing the things of the world. Stop chasing success. Stop chasing, you know, new opportunities and career, but chase God. Chase God. You can make plans, but the Lord determines your steps. You can make plans, but you have to allow God to determine your steps. And the thing about when we turn north, we keep going north until God tells us to turn somewhere else. When God tells us a plan, we keep doing that plan until he gives us a different plan. You understand? I will be here preaching until God tells me to go somewhere else. I will live here in this town until God tells me to move somewhere else. Right? Because at the moment, he said, this is the direction. I don't need a new direction tomorrow. That's the problem. Some people, we just like to turn every other day. Well, I don't like the way this way is going. Let me turn this way. Well, I don't like the way this way is going. Let me turn this way. And what we do, we find ourselves running a rat race in circles. People keep asking themselves over and over, how do I keep circling this mountain? That's how. Every day you want to turn somewhere new. You didn't like the bumps in the road. You didn't like what was ahead. So we turn, always trying to find a new way. But God has given us direction, church. He's given us a direction, and we must follow. You know, people, they talk about their true north. You hear people talk about that. That's their moral compass, right? Well, I don't know about you, but if you've been watching TV, if you've been scrolling the internet at all, you'll realize, people, that compass is broke. I don't know about a moral compass anymore because the things that I watch, the things that I hear, the things that I see, there is no moral compass. But it's time that what we heed to the direction of our God-given Holy Spirit compass because we got to go in the direction that he has laid out before us. I'm going to tell you, you can get in this world and it doesn't matter if the world says go this way or that, believe in this thing or that thing. We got to believe in God's thing. It doesn't matter what the political agenda says. We have to go the direction God says go. We may not always understand it, but when we go to the Lord in prayer and ask for direction and he gives it to us, we must follow it in full faith. See, sometimes we try to justify it with our own understanding. Well, I don't know if I agree. I'm not 100% lined with this or that. Well, What are you aligned with this? Because, you know, that's what I was telling my daughter. She came home from college, and of course, the world and the media starts to talk to you about this war. And then they say, well, you know, maybe Israel shouldn't be doing some of this stuff that they're doing. All I do is I say, ask this, what it says. And whatever it says you do, you'll be aligned with the Holy Spirit compass in your life. You don't have to worry about which way the media is trying to have you lean. This is how we line up our life. Our true north is in Him and in Him alone. It's in Him and in Him alone. Isaiah 58:11 said, the Lord will guide you continually. Continually. He's not going to stop guiding you. He's not going to put you in a wilderness and leave you alone with nowhere to go. He's not going to take you down a path and make it be a dead end. If he's told you to marry that person or take that job, it's not a dead end job, and that's not a broke, busted husband. Because if God put them before you, I want you to know it's the plan that He has for you, and He will continually guide you. We have to continually to trust Him. It says the Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be like a well-watered garden, like an ever-flowing spring. Because I want you to know where God guides, He provides. If He's guiding you in a direction, He's going to provide for you in that direction. You've heard over and over the testimonies of my parents here in this church and people talking about Bardstown, how it's a graveyard for churches and it's oppression from the bourbon industry and it's a Catholic town and it's this and it's that and all these different things. But where God guides, He provides. And if He planted us here, we'll flourish like an ever-flowing spring. You know, because that's what God does when He tells you to go and you go. That's what we need to understand today. God has provided for us because we have followed the direction that God said. You know, next week, I actually meet with our architect and get our plans on our gym, on our building. Amen? And I believe that God has guided us in that direction, and He will provide. He'll provide the funds that we need to break ground and build that building. Because He's guiding us in that direction. It is a direction that we're building a facility that will minister and touch young people all across Nelson County. And if you haven't watched the news this week, are the youth and young people of Nelson County confused? Or are they upset? Or do they have a bone to pick with everything going on? Do they need a safe place, a place that people, they know that people care about them? You know? So what we're doing is timely. It is timely. And if God has put us in this position, He'll provide. That's what God does. Where He guides, He provides. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 12. See what happens here in verse 2. God begins to direct Moses to turn north. And then for the next 10 chapters there, He begins to tell them, He tells them what to do when He walks through each of those lands. Pass through this one, don't say anything. Pass through that one and pay this person. He begins to give these things that they need to do for the next 10 chapters, from verse chapter 2 to chapter 12. But then something shifts when He gets to chapter 12. And in verse 1, it says, these are the decrees and regulations you must be careful to obey when you live in the land that the Lord your God, that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. You must obey them as long as you live. Say, live in the land. Come on, say, live in the land. I want you to know we have a job to do in the land in which we live. When God told us to turn north and He gave us a direction and we get to the land, we get to the place, God has established a place. He's established a place. I believe this is the place that God has established for this region. I believe that our intercessors, our prayer warriors, are warring for this region. I believe this church is warring for this region. God has established a place. You know, I was on the phone this week with Seth McDonald, our missionary in Ecuador, and they're getting ready to come home on furlough. But he said, I can't wait to get back. He's not even home yet. He's not even had his first cheeseburger. And he's already saying he can't wait to get back because he said, we're planting two churches. And he said, one of them is right at the edge of where Morwani tribe is, the one that killed all those missionaries. He said, we're right on the edge. And he said, and we've already got an inn. Do you think that that's a place that God would have established in that region? He's establishing a place, the land in which he lives. Well, I don't know about you, but I think most of you live right here in Nelson County. So you have to be established in the place that you live. Because God called you to a place. And it says that we must be careful to obey the commands of the Lord at the place he has called us. You don't get to decide whether you like me today to decide if you're called here or not. Too bad. You know? Because when God calls you, it's not a popularity contest. When God calls you, it isn't whether someone offends you or doesn't offend you today. It isn't whether someone shook your hand or didn't. It isn't whether the praise team sang the songs you liked or didn't today. It wasn't with the fact that I prayed for young people and not mature people today. I'm careful. I've learned. You don't wander in the wilderness to sit in the land where he placed you. There's work to be done. Why would we wander in the wilderness not to work the land? Verse 4. Do not worship the Lord your God in the way these pagan peoples worship their gods. Rather, you must seek the Lord your God at the place of worship he himself will choose from among all the tribes, the place where his name will be honored. And there, say there. There you will bring your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your sacred offerings, your offerings to fulfill a vow, your voluntary offerings, and your offerings of your firstborn animals, of your herds and flocks. There you and your families will feast in the presence of the Lord your God, and you will rejoice in all you have accomplished because the Lord your God has blessed you. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. If you receive that, say hallelujah. God has blessed us. He's not only blessed us here, but he's blessed you. I've seen the blessing of God over your lives because you're operating in the place that God gave you. Verse 8 says, your pattern of worship will change. Today, all of you are doing as you please. That's a warning. Today, you are doing as you please. It's sad but true that most people just do as they please. We walk through life doing as we please. If it hurts someone, oh well. If I get ahead, oh well. If they don't, too bad. We do what we please. But what we need to do today is ask, is God pleased? Ask, is God pleased? Is God pleased with my worship? Is God pleased with my giving? Is God pleased with my sacrifice? There's a sacrifice that comes with serving the Lord. Is God pleased with it? Is he pleased with my attendance? Is he pleased with my witness? Is he pleased with how many people I have led to the Lord this year? Is he pleased with how I raise my children? Is he pleased with how I work for an employer? Am I a good employee? Is God pleased when he looks at me? Or do everything I go through in life, is it to please me? Is it to do as I please and not worry about how it affects anybody else and not worry about what God thinks of it? Is God pleased? Because when we turn in the direction that God has us going and we ask ourselves, is God pleased? He'll be pleased if we're doing what he's called us to do. Verse 9, and I'm getting ready to close. Because you have not yet arrived at the place of rest, the land your God is giving you as your special possession. But you will soon cross the Jordan River and live in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And when he gives you rest from all your enemies, and you're living safely in the land, you must bring everything I command. Your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, your sacred offerings, your offerings to fulfill a vow, to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for his name to be honored. I want you to know we haven't arrived at our rest place just yet, but we are in the land that he has placed us to work. We are at the place that God has called us. You know, I love it when I hear testimonies of people, you know, like Bert and Sandy, that just moved here from Texas quite a few years ago, and then the Lord just called them here. Look around at John and Karen. They come all the way from California to Bardstown, Kentucky, and the Lord called them here. This is a place I have for you. Jerry and Lottie, he called them here. He began to draw people in. But then there's those that he drew in today, like Chelsea and Jordan. Chelsea used to come here as a little girl. But just like that scripture, I'm calling you. I'm calling you from the east and the west, and I'm calling you from the land. I'm calling you back to a place. God is doing that. And this is a place that God has established. It's a place that he's chosen for his name to be honored. We don't apologize for preaching the word of God. We don't apologize for preaching the truth. You know, we don't try to make excuses for what God is doing. We tell you what's happening in the world, and we stand on the word of God. Because this is the place, and we are the people, and this is the land that we must work. What you are seeing in Israel is a battle for the land. The enemy has always wanted the land. He wants this land. And we are what's standing between him and the land. We are what's standing. We have to do our part. We can only do our part if we're not wandering lost. So it's time that we reorient ourselves today. For those that are lost and don't know which way is east or west, I just need you to know what north is. I need you to know the direction that God has for you today. I promise you, sometimes that road looks bumpy and looks hard, but it is the direction that God has for us. And when we focus and fix our eyes like a flint on the direction that God has, he will bless us in the land. If you're in the land but not working the land, I don't want to step on any toes, but I'm getting ready to. If you're in the land but not working the land, you will get the leftover blessings. You'll get the crumbs. You'll get the scattered blessings. But when you're in the place that God has for you and you work the land, you'll see the blessings of God all over your life. It'll be evident of what God is doing. So today, I hope that this message is a message of encouragement to you to learn that it is time that we work where God has placed us, that we do what God has called us to do. Because I promise you this, we are in the home stretch. Can I pray for you today before I turn it over to Apostle? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for each and every one that's here today, Father God, for those that this message has spoke to, that have heard this message, that have been wandering lost, Lord, that today, Father God, they know the direction that you've called them. Lord, that they're reorienting themselves, that they are turning in the direction you have for them, Lord Jesus. Our hearts, our minds, our spirits are turned north, God. They're focused on you today, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that, Father God, we will run this race. We will go this home stretch, Father God, and we will work the land where you've placed us. We will see, Father God, harvest in the land that you've placed us. Those that have been wandering are coming home and knowing Jesus today. The salvation is coming to their household, their families, right now, in Jesus' name. Those that have been working the land, Father God, let them see a harvest. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Father God, for being faithful to work the land where you've placed them. Those that are obeying the commands that you've given us, that we read there in Deuteronomy 12. God, those that are obeying those commands, God, that you'll bless them, Lord. Those, Father God, that are still trusting you, Father God, you'll increase their faith. And today, make them strong in you, in the mighty name of Jesus. Would you say amen?
Amen. We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast and visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.